Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
This is a Triple M footy special podcast as Nathan Buckley steps down as Collingwood's senior coach.
It's been a massive day at the Pies as Nathan Buckley steps down as Collingwood coach, effective as of Monday's Queen's Birthday clash against the Deans. Later on in this special podcast, Damien Barrett joins Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy to detail exactly what went down, and you'll also hear the thoughts of former Collingwood great Dale Thomas and the rest of the midweek rub. But first, let's take a listen to Bucks at today's press conference.
I've had 9.5 years at the helm after 2 years as an assistant coach in 2010 and 11, so I've had a fair crack at it. And everyone has its time, every relationship, every person has their time, and mine has come. I'm really content with the decision that's been reached, and I'm pretty confident the club will be in really good shape going forward. So the question was whether I was up for it, and whether the club viewed me as a longer term person to do it for the next 3 to 5. I can't categorically say that I want to be here for the next 5 years, for instance. And I think that the candidate that the club ended up looking for, I think, should be someone who has that fresh eyes, fresh ideas, a new person within the group to help it pop again, and to help it regenerate.
Do you feel fulfilled as a coach?
Good question. I sat in a similar position at the end of 2007. Sort of thinking that I was going to leave the football club as a player, and I'd had a full career, and I was asked the same question. To be able to come back into the fold as a coach in 2010 and be an assistant coach in a premiership year, and then go into a grand final in 11, to take the reins as a senior coach, go into a prelim, then regenerate, and then come back around and go close in 18, another prelim in 19. It's a career. My coaching career mirrored the playing career pretty closely, if I'm talking about it from my perspective. And ultimately, to not have been part of a premiership, if I reflect back to what I would have thought 20 years ago, I think I would have been absolutely gutted and shattered by it. I'm disappointed. I'm definitely not unfulfilled, because the journey itself has been tremendously fulfilling. Bar a kick here or there, mate, I wouldn't change much. It is a good question, and it's one that I'll probably spend some time reflecting on, as we all do, about what we put all our time and energy into and our lives' passions, of which football has been one of mine, and the club itself. But I sit here tremendously content with the work that I've done, the people that I've met, what we've been able to achieve, and the way that I've gone about it, probably more so.
It's fair to say the news came as quite a shock, as even the players didn't even know it was happening until this morning. Pies captain Scott Penderbury spoke to the media outside Olympic Park today.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shock. You come into train today and, that happened. So it's definitely a shock, and first time in my career that I've ever been through something like this before. So, I feel almost a little bit numb.
Yeah. Did he pull you in? How can you explain to him?
Like everything sort of happens, I think it started to get out pretty quickly. So planned to have a bit of a chat with the leaders. And then it just the timeline sped up. So it's just as a full group. And then it come out, and he just spoke about thinks it's the best thing for the club. No person's bigger than the club, and he thinks it's the right time for him to step away. And he just spoke about his gratitude for the place he spent half his life here, and how excited he is by the future, and excited for the opportunity that he's had as a player, as assistant coach, as a coach, and everything that he's contributed to our club.
So once again, Nathan Buckley will step down as Collingwood coach after the Queen's Birthday game against the Demons. Now, Let's hear from Triple M Footy's Damien Barrett as he joined JB and Billy on Triple M's Rush Hour.
We have got a big, big story surrounding the Collingwood Footy Club and their coach, Damo. Nice to see you jumping in at short notice.
Wow. Hello, Jim. Hello, Bill. Yeah, we thought Carlton was the team that was going through all the rigors and the rigmarole of looking into its own coaching situation. The Collingwood's just gone, nah, we'll trump you there. We'll actually remove our senior coach and start looking for a new one immediately.
Those words interest me. Mm. Remove our senior coach. So they got rid of Nathan saying, I'm out. It was them saying, you're out.
It's look, Tony Jones asked the question, and I thought it was a really cleverly worded question. Were you tapped? Were you not tapped? What was it? And he didn't engage in it. What I have been able to ascertain, Jim, was that there was a conversation had between Nathan Buckley and the people determining his future. Graham Wright is one of those people. After the win they had on the weekend against the Adelaide Crows, and that was a good win, wasn't it? The way they structured up, played very differently to how they had been playing. But between that win and last night, it was made very clear to Nathan Buckley that the support for him to go into 2022 just wasn't there. Now, there's partings and exits of coaches from their club that get ugly. This one's not, and I think it's to Nathan's credit that he was open-minded about it, Bill, wasn't he? Early in the year, he said, it may be my decision. Well, it is partially his decision after what he was told on the days after the Adelaide win on the weekend. But ultimately, the club had come to that conclusion that that was it. And as such, he'll coach on Monday against Melbourne Footy Club in Sydney for the Queen's Birthday game. And then from that point on, for the remainder of 2021, Robert Harvey will be in caretaker mode.
So I don't, you know, I'm an unabashed card-carrying fan of Nathan Buckley, always have been. It looked to me, Damo, from the out, very, very much from the outside looking in, that he's looking at all the uncertainty around the list, around the board, around the club, full stop, and saying, okay, let's put some certainty into this part of it and remove myself. And if that's the case, it's the act of a very classy man.
And that wouldn't surprise you, Jim. I mean, you have spoken recently about this. You made him the offer when you first got to North Melbourne to be the coach post-Dean Laidley. And he ultimately said no and stayed at Collingwood. And here we are in 2021. His coaching career's ended in his 10th season. I wouldn't be surprised if he has some time now to consider where he's at. I wouldn't be surprised if he, at some stage, I think it'll be media next year, Bill, but I wouldn't be surprised if the coaching bug will stay in him. But when it comes back to the class of the man, Jim, I mean, you only needed to witness some of that press conference today to get a feel for that.
Mm. Spot on. It was classy, no doubt about that. I'll tell you what, there was no leaks. You like that about the club, don't you? No leaks at all. No one knew. Even Scott Pendlebury didn't know. He was surprised and shocked. And also, he hasn't lost the players. A lot of coaches lose the players, and that's why they have to exit.
Yeah, well, I think you can safely say that, Bill, given what happened last weekend when they again went away with all the procedural requirements now, and they're annoying when it comes to the COVID-19 requirements. And they were on a bus, off a bus, police checks and whatnot, went out and won a game of footy that they weren't meant to win. And to be able to do it, given they'd only had two wins to that point of the season, I agree with you, Bill, that's all the evidence you need when it comes to other players still playing for you.
Robert Harvey will be the caretaker coach. He's got 9 games, I think it is. But they've got to pick up the phone, don't they, Collingwood? They've got to ring Ross Lyne. They've got to ring Clarko. They've got to ring Paul Ruse.
You go Ruse as well, would you?
Oh, of course you've got to make the call, I think, don't they? And how does this work, Jim? You've been in there as a chairman looking at new coaches. Brad's got to be another one, you would say.
I would.
Do you just ring everyone and anyone? Or?
Well, here's how I would think they'd go about it. If you've got a dead set favourite, let's say that is Alistair Clarkson, let's say. I would not have a clue, but let's say that would be the case. Then the first thing you'll do is check with him whether there's any point the conversation going any further. Because the way Clarko's wired, he would probably say no. And then you at least know and you can move on to your next.
Yes.
And that might be putting a panel together and putting a process together. But if there's an absolute clear-cut favourite, Damo, among that field,
you go all in on that.
Well, not even all in, but you would have a straight-up conversation saying, look, we want to talk to you about this role. Is there any interest in with you? If the answer to that is yes, then that's where you go.
Well, the problem they've got in their space, guys, and I'm massive on this, that who makes that phone call? Because
Graham Wright, that's the interesting bit.
This is the interesting bit. Graham Wright probably makes a phone call, Bill, but if you're Alistair Clarkson, let's make him the exhibit A on this conversation. The next question you say, okay, but who's running the club?
Yeah,
is it Mark Corder? Is it Jeff Brown? I've spoken to Jeff Brown today. He's happy to go on record saying, we need to sort this out soon now. Mm. And it's another layer of chaos that this club has now endured since all the way back to the trade period of last year. We had the Do Better report, not just the contents of the Do Better report, but the handling of it publicly. Mm-hmm. It led to Eddie Maguire standing down, the dilly-dallying between Mark Corder and Peter Murphy, who takes over. It took them 3 months to make it Mark Corder. We then get Jeff Brown coming in. Yep. We get to this stage, Bill. Mm. You're having that conversation with Alistair Clarkson. He's too smart to say, yep, I'm in.
That's right. That's a very good point you make, and it is something they need to address and clean up really quickly.
It won't be the same Collingwood as we've known it. With Eddie there and with Bucks there, big personalities, it's not going to be the same Collingwood anymore, is it?
It's a great point, Bill, because if you look when Nathan Buckley first got to the club, as he reminded us all today, November 1993, since that moment, he's had 1 year off the club. That was the year after he retired at the end of 2007 and then came back as an assistant coach, came back and then went into the coaching job. So 1 year gap in a 27-year time frame for him. And as we know, Eddie Maguire joined not long after that period in time.
Add to that Mick Malthouse and add to that, Jeff Walsh. I mean, they've always been a club full of big personalities. It is going to be a different landscape. I don't want us to finish this conversation, Purple, without acknowledging how bloody good he's been. Yeah, but for Dom Sheed kicking the unkickable he wins a grand final.
Well, 260 games he played. He won six Copelands. Six. Yep. Six best and fairest, of course. One a Brownlow and a Norm Smith there, Jim. Seven All-Australians. Seven.
Yeah.
I'm more talking about his coaching career.
Then we go into the coaching. All right. But he was he's been there for a long, long time. Then coached 217 games, won 116 of those.
And in the American terminology, Bill, when you talk about sports, a winning coach. His percentage was better than 50-50.
Five finals, 54%. Yeah. And, of course, the one you're talking about, the 2018 Grand Final.
But a prelim the next year that they just lost to the Giants, and then they won a final in Perth last year under Bucks. So
and a prelim back in his very first year in 2012. And okay, they were coming off a premiership year, but it's still a prelim for him. And as you say, another season which had a winning final in as recently as last year.
So he has been a star. And as I say, the class in which he's exited and looked after the organisation on the way out, I think says a lot about the man.
This is a Triple M Footy special podcast as Nathan Buckley steps down as the coach of Collingwood. Up next, we'll get the thoughts of Dale Thomas and the boys from the Midweek Rub.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
This is a Triple M Footy special podcast as Nathan Buckley steps down as Collingwood senior coach.
Collingwood has had a massive 6 to 8 months with the loss of several key players, a new president, a new list manager, and now they'll be looking for a new coach, with Nathan Buckley stepping down after the Queen's birthday game. Now, let's hear from the boys from the Midweek Rub as they discuss how exactly the Pies and Nathan Buckley found themselves in this situation.
He didn't want to go as a starting point, but at the same time, he had had his mind opened up to the possibility that the club was going to be in a position where it just didn't require him to be the next person. And that's where it's got to. They're mature conversations. It's a mutual outcome as a result, but ultimately not one that he wanted to be addressing in this current time frame.
Yeah, it started like it was a mutual decision, wasn't it? When he started his press conference, but it pretty quickly became, as you just said, and the way I thought of it when I was watching it, Daisy, and I know you'll agree with me here, it's like a player that retires. We don't ever really choose to retire. We're sort of led to say, look, we think we've got to move past you. We've got to play the kids. If we had the choice ourselves, we would all play one extra year. We're competitive beasts. We think we could do it. It felt a bit like the same with Nathan Buckley. He understood that it was the right decision. It was time to move on. But if it was, say, left in his hands to make the sole choice, it sounded like he probably wanted to go on, but he understood the situation.
Always sad for me, and it doesn't matter whether it's in the football industry or any industry. We've seen so many people this year because of obviously the circumstances around the world not actually have a job and not be working at all. So for me, I feel terribly sad for him because I know how much he loves that footy club and loves what he's doing.
And gave it everything.
So absolutely. So sad, but he's going to have plenty of options.
Yeah.
I mean, Nathan Buckley has got the world at his feet. And I'm sure one day if he wanted to coach again, would probably have the opportunity to do that as well. So sad, but then also look at, think about the pressure that's now going to be
lifted,
alleviated off his shoulders.
Yeah.
I mean, he can now be a great dad as he was before, but even more great.
Do you think it's the right call?
I think so. I think so now. And if they were having doubts and Bucks clearly was probably second-guessing himself a little bit as well to some degree. So for them to be mutual, and I think it was. I agree with everything you said before, but for Bucks has always said all the way along, that if it's better for the Collingwood Footy Club, yeah, he would be more than happy to leave. And once again, he's done that. So I wish him well.
And when your time, excuse me, and when your time is up, whether you're retiring or you do sort of get the tap, if you can walk away knowing you've given it 100% your all, and we can genuinely attest to Nathan Buckley as a player at that footy club, did everything he could to be the best player for that football club, the best player for his team. As a coach, he was no different. No stone unturned. If you follow his journey, yes, it might have been a little bit his way or the highway at the start, but no doubt through 2017, 16, 18, when they started to turn it around, he sort of evolved a bit as a person as well, became more personable. The group sort of responded to that, a kick away from being a premiership coach, which is unfortunate he wasn't. But to Nathan, well done, I guess, on everything you've achieved at that football club, and will go down as one of the greats, if not the greatest player coach they've had.
Damo, what did you think watching the presser today? Because this year it's been a bit with Bucks interesting that sometimes you think, yeah, no, he should keep coaching. He's a very good football coach. And then other times we look and go, no, maybe they need a fresh start.
Yep.
What did you feel watching it today?
The latter. And again, to your point, I loved your retirement analogy there, Joey, because that is what I think it's got to. And I think you can then only analyse the full situation once it's been the decision has been made, which it now has. So, and he made the reference. They needed someone with a bit of pizzazz. And that wasn't quite the word, but it was a word along those lines. And they wanted it for 5 years. And he almost conceded that he wasn't that person at this stage of his coaching career at that particular footy club. What happens next is intriguing, because I've spoken to Jeff Brown today, who's going to challenge and is challenging. He's committed more than ever to still do what he wants to do. I raise that in the context of there's going to be a subcommittee formed to find the new coach. They'll be making calls potentially as early as this week about who will be the next coach. And I would imagine if you're a senior coach, let's use Alistair Clarkson for the purpose of this conversation, you'd register your interest or otherwise. If it's yes, I'm interested, you'd then say, well, what happens next, though? Who am I reporting to? Is it Mark Corder? Is it Jeff Brown? Is it a combination of a few things? So until they sort that situation out, if you're an Alistair Clarkson and someone of that caliber, you couldn't possibly enter meaningfully into conversations about breaking your own contract, going to that club without knowing who's going to be calling the shots.
That's a very good point, because everyone thinks you're getting ahead, Collingwood are getting a head start by at least cutting ties now. They can go on the search for a new coach, but who's going to be doing the searching? You're right. That's a really fascinating subplot to this story.
Listening to Ross Lyon on Sunday Footy here, working alongside you, Duck, he said, and it was interesting from his point of view, he said if he was approached, he would go in and lay down his terms.
Yes,
so not correct. Almost the club hunting him. Say, yes, come in. What have you got? Like, this is what we want. No. If you want me to be your coach for the next 5 years, this is the direction we're going in. This is what I'm bringing. This is where we're going. Either you agree with me on that, or don't sign me.
Yeah. There's only some coaches that could do that.
But if you're talking to a Clarkson or a Ross Lyon, they're the ones you get, and you're probably going to know exactly what you're signing up for at the start. Whereas you go on an untried method, that's when you hold more of a power as a footy club.
You're subservient to the footy club if you go in like that. And also, let's not forget that Robert Harvey's obviously taking over as the senior coach. And who knows? Robert Harvey could do a Paul Roos.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. So what should Robert Harvey do now with 11 games? Because you experienced it under David Teague. So David Teague, once he took over from Brenton Bolton, he started coaching to win games. He started putting blokes back in their traditional spots. He started playing Curnow and Murphy in the midfield. He picked guys on merit, not on, you know, a young player getting a game. And they started winning. Yeah. And that gave David Teague the opportunity to be senior coach.
Mm.
So does Robert Harvey coach to try and win games of footy to give himself the best chance of being a senior coach? Or does he coach the club to say, I'm going to play the young kids and let's get an 11-game head start on season 2022 and play McRae, play Rantel, get Ollie Henry back in the side and build for next year? How would he go about it?
Well, I guess it gets back to whether the Ross Lyon, what Ross, you know, what he said, and that is whether Robert says, well, I want to coach my way. I want to put my spin on it. This is, you know, this is my chance to show you what I can do, and or whether he's just been told what to do.
I reckon there's no doubt if you became an interim coach, personally, what I would do, you'd be going out there putting everything you could to win games of footy. This is your one shot, if you will, to show your worth as a senior coach. So you'd be playing.
So if he wanted to play Mason Cox because he thinks
Mason Cox, he plays Cox, Pendles, and Sidey.
That doesn't line up, though, with where the club is at the moment, doesn't it? They've played 7 first gamers this year. They've chosen not to play Mason Cox.
But again, this is why it's a predicament again, because you've got a bloke who's going to come in with somewhat of his own interests of being the senior coach, with clear aspirations, applied for a few jobs, wants to be a senior coach. Unless the club is saying to him, well, you play the kids and
Well, we'll see. It's going
to
be...
Well, that'll give us something to talk about over the next couple of weeks.
I don't see Robert Harvey being in the mix in the big picture. Now, that's just my opinion on the take I've got of this situation. I could be wrong on that, but that's my read on it going into it.
One other quick one, Damo. Has this meant at Waverley today, there's maybe some conversations and meetings going on at high level saying, hang on a minute, Clarko and Sam Mitchell, everyone's talking about them. Do they need to get together and start thinking about what their plan is? Because you would expect someone from Collingwood to be making phone calls to either Clarko or Sam Mitchell to see if they're interested in the coaching job.
You would, and it'll be Graham, right, I would think.
He'll be
forming at least a significant part of the subcommittee that does get formed. But if you're either of those gentlemen, particularly Alistair Clarkson, I just can't see how you engage, Duck, in meaningful conversation without knowing who's going to actually be heading the football club.
I still think it's fascinating that we keep talking about Sam Mitchell. As a senior coach, how many games has he coached now? 8, 9 at VFL level.
Now they stopped after round 6.
Oh, okay, they did too. So only 6 games. I mean, there are way more qualified assistant coaches out there than Sam Mitchell. That's not to say Sam won't be a great coach or could be a great coach straight away, but it is very premature. And we keep talking about it. The pressure that Sam Mitchell's under already is quite immense, and to take over from Alistair Clarkson or you know, go to a Collingwood behind Nathan Buckley. Oof. I mean, what sort of pressure does that bring?
Yep.
I mean, I just think it's ludicrous.
Just one other one. Carlton now. Does this now put a bit of pressure on them to fast-track their review where they want to go with their coaching staff if Collingwood are already starting the search to get the best candidate out there? If Carlton wait till the end of the year and then decide to make a decision on Teague, all of a sudden they're going to left probably getting the second best coach.
Joey, history tells me 100% that once there are two coaches potentially gettable, two clubs after a new coach, the competitive tension goes through the roof no matter what each club says publicly. So to answer your question, game on.
Game on. Yeah. Interesting.
This has been a Triple M Footy special podcast. It's everything you need to know about Nathan Buckley's resignation as Collingwood senior coach. Remember, you can download and stream the Listener app and listen to Triple M Footy wherever you are, whenever you want, including every game live across the upcoming weekend.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.